Good morning, everybody. Who of you was here last week when we spoke about words and how sometimes what comes out of our mouth is actually what is cursing our life more than anything else? Today, I want to continue on that teaching because you can't just spend one message talking to people about the tongue. Because what do you spend most of your time doing? Talking. And a lot of people have a lot of problems that they don't even realize was caused by themselves and by either what they speak. Let's just pray first. I can see the devil is busy here today, very busy, and I'm not going to stand for that. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we put our foot down now. And Lord, I thank you that whatever is in this place that doesn't honor God, it leaves now. Father, we thank you that as we speak the word of God and as we preach the word of God, we're going to do so with authority, with boldness, and in power. We honor you and we praise you, Lord. Devil, you got no place in this church. Go to the pit of hell. Amen. All right, I want to speak to you about words. And the reason I want to speak to you about words is because words matter. You see, what you say to others, just like what they say to you, matters. Is there a specific way you would like people to talk to you? Be honest now. Is there a specific way that you would not like them to talk to you? Well, you see, they feel exactly the same way about you. You see, this is one of those places where it's so easy for us to see it only from one perspective, but we don't always see it from the other side. You might have one thing that's unacceptable when you feel somebody speaks to you that way, but you might be doing exactly the same thing to people all the time, and you don't see it in yourself. Now, what we need to do, we need to talk about these things because it is important for us to realize and important for us to understand that we can be bringing a lot of judgment upon ourselves by what we say and by how we say it. How many of you have had sleepless nights because of what somebody said to you during the day? Just wave at me. Well, that's like 90% of the people here. Because that's how much words matter. When somebody is ugly to you, when they are nasty to you, when they say scathing words are like the words that cut deep into you. We can't just let it go. You know, when the hammer falls on your toe, you shout and you scream for a while, but even though you got big pain, you can let it go and you can move on. But when somebody was really harsh with you and when somebody was really ugly with you and when their tongue was cutting you to pieces, it is virtually impossible to just put it down and move on because they get stuck. You know, those words are like a poison, and that poison enters your heart. And because it's in your heart, it affects who you are, it affects how you think, it affects where you go. You see, words don't just matter to us. Words also matter to God. I showed you a scripture last week that I want to look at again. God actually keeps a record of the words that we speak. Now, that in itself should be enough for you to realize that you better be very careful what you allow to come out of your mouth because it is all being taken down. Believe it or not, the words that you speak today may come back to haunt you tomorrow or the day after, even later. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 says, "But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word that they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." It's going to be a very sad reality for some people one day when they stand before God and God says, "I'm going to let you be the judge of what happened in your life." Your own words will either acquit you or your own words will condemn you. And then the words that you spoke and the way in which you brought them across are going to be brought back. And you will be made to answer for the words that you spoke. You see, here's the thing. A lot of people down here, they feel, "Oh, what's the worst that can happen?" The worst that can happen is one day you stand before a multitude of witnesses and your words are brought back and you are asked to give an account. Why did you treat this person that way? Why did you speak to that individual this way? And you know what? Then possibly, just possibly, we are going to be shown what the effects of our words were on that individual. How that could have even altered the course of their life. I want to ask you a question. How many people down here on earth today are missing out on their destiny because somebody told them, you're not good enough. You're wasting everybody's time. You are pathetic. You are useless. You are unable to do anything good. You know, we don't realize in a moment of anger, sometimes we say things to people and you can never determine what the effect of the words that you speak to that person today is going to be on their tomorrow or their hereafter. I firmly believe that there is a lot of people in this world that amount to nothing because people kept telling them, you are nothing. But we must understand when God put that individual here, God didn't put them here to accomplish nothing. God has a destiny for every man. God has a purpose for every individual. And sometimes our words can actually begin to cancel out what God has placed inside of that person. And how sad is it that men interfere with the work of God by the way we speak to people? You see, our words have eternal value. The effects of your words will be with you, even according to the Bible, in the life hereafter. Careless words are typically the kind of words that we speak without knowing the facts or without caring what they are. I want to give you an example. Just to make you think, because sometimes when we hear these things, we can't put ourselves in a practical situation where this would actually be applicable. Let's say there's a situation at work. It doesn't matter what it is. Something went horribly wrong. Now, there's a number of people who could have done it, or is a number of people that might have not done what they were supposed to do, and now we're sitting with big problems. But so the boss comes storming in, all upset and what. So now you got to pass the buck quick. You don't like Flippy anyway. So it's like, I'm pretty sure Flippy didn't do this and this and this and this. Firstly, you don't know whether he did or he didn't do anything. You can't prove nothing. That is now idle words. Now, here's the consequences of those idle words. The boss takes those words to heart. He's also wrong because he should be checking up, but now he's trusting in your judgment because you're telling him it must. Obviously, it was this individual. So now the boss, because nobody can prove nothing, doesn't necessarily take it further immediately, but inside of his heart, he's now building an anger and animosity towards Flippy because Flippy is the one that caused the problem. Meanwhile, Flippy wasn't even there that day when the pawpaw hit the fan. He's actually got nothing to do with it. The relationship between Flippy and the boss gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And eventually the boss looks for a reason and finds a reason to fire him. Flippy now gets fired. Flippy now cannot provide for his family. Flippy now becomes depressed and eventually takes his own life. The question is, where did all of this start? It started with the careless word of an individual who spoke things without knowing what they were saying. Now, do not believe for one second that there will not be consequences for what is happening to that man and what is now happening to his family because his children have no father. His wife has no husband. His mother has no son. Yes, maybe what I'm giving you now is an extreme, but it's not that incomprehensible. These things happen all the time. How many people today are walking the streets a hobo because of what somebody said and the consequences that came because of careless words spoken? You know, sometimes people can be hurt to the point that they simply just want to give up on life. They don't want to live anymore. They say, whatever. Because no matter how hard I try, everything seems to be going wrong. We need to be held accountable for what we say. We need to be held accountable for how we say things to people. Because lives matter to God. And the way we speak to people, according to the Bible, is either going to bring life or it is going to bring death. We all know that the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. Maybe you've never thought about it that way, But what you speak into another person's life, and you also count, but we'll get to that later. What you speak into another person's life can bring about death. I cannot think of anything more serious than that. Death. It's the end of everything. If I say the wrong things to somebody, especially when I speak without knowing and I bring condemnation and judgment into somebody's life without them deserving it, I can actually end their life. Now, let's talk about gossip. You know, I've often said to people, there are a couple of church-going demons. Gossip is one of those. He loves to go to church. He loves to go to church to talk about what somebody's wearing, what car somebody's driving, where somebody is sitting, who somebody sits, hangs around with. You know, it's fine. We all have something to say. But we shouldn't be gossiping about another individual. There's only one thing as difficult as unscrambling an egg, and that is unspreading a rumor. Listen carefully. Where do rumors get started? It gets started with words. And a rumor is something that's based on fiction, not fact. It cannot be proven. Now, many times we feel we need to say something in any given situation. The more you speak without knowing, the bigger the chance that you are going to be starting rumors about another individual. My reputation is only as safe as what comes out of your mouth when you leave here. Do you understand that? And it's the same with you. You know, I can live a wonderful life. I can have a good relationship with God. But tomorrow, careless words can leave my life in the gutter. Whether I did something or not doesn't matter. And you see, the devil knows that. So guess which part of you is most attractive to the devil today? That part. Because that's what he wants to control. When the devil gets hold of somebody's tongue, when the devil begins to control somebody's lips and what comes out of their lips, oh, it is amazing how much destruction he can bring into a family, he can bring into a congregation, he can bring into a school. What causes wars is not always what somebody did. Most of the times it's because somebody said something and it charged everybody up. Everybody gets angry and everybody wants to fight. How many times when you are at a pub, doesn't a fight start because somebody said something to somebody else? Look, we would all like to say it's because he kissed my cherry, but most of the times it's not. It's because they say something and that gets everybody hot under the collar and big fights break out. Well, you see, my friend, the devil knows that what comes out of one person's mouth can completely destroy another person. Please just take the volume down a bit. It's singing. Thank you. Gossip is one of those things that the Bible makes very clear. God simply has no time for it. We have a lot of time for it. You know, when there's a nice juicy something being dropped about somebody, it's like, ooh, I haven't heard. Let me hear. But God hates it. And we need to understand how God feels about these things. I'm going to show you something from the book of Numbers. We've spoken about it before, but it's very fitting. Numbers 12, verse 1 to 2. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of Moses' Cushite wife. For he had married a Cushite. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? They asked. Hasn't he spoken also through us? And the Lord heard this. Okay. What's happening here? Moses is the topic of discussion. Is Moses in the room? No. But he's being discussed. What do we call that? It's gossip. Okay. Now, here's the thing. Aaron and Miriam are having a nice juicy gossip session about a man by the name of Moses. Now the problem here is God actually happens to like Moses quite a lot. They don't think they're doing anything wrong. Moses is not, yeah, I mean, it's not like we're doing it in his face. We're having this discussion behind his back. We don't like his wife. We don't like the way that she dresses. We don't like the way that she cooks, etc., etc. Nice, juicy gossip. The problem for them was, listen to what it says. And the Lord heard this. You see, when there's two of you gossiping somewhere, there's actually three of you, probably four, because God and the devil are both present as well. You see, the thing is, we don't realize you're driving in your car, it's two of you. You're discussing that other individual, and the things that you have to say are not very nice. How do you know you're gossiping? Because you won't say that in their face. You like to say it behind their back. So now it's gossip, gossip, gossip. God hears this. Why is this in the Bible? To teach us something. When you gossip about another individual, not only does the devil hear, but God also hears. Now, here's the thing. God immediately took offense to what was being done to his servant Moses. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, touch not the anointed of God. When you mess with somebody that God is blessed with, it's a recipe for disaster because problems are going to follow. And the Lord heard this. Now, Moses was a very humble man. He was more humble than anyone else on the face of this earth. And at once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come to the tent of meeting. All three of you. So the three of them came out. When were there consequences to what was happening? Immediately. You see, in this case, it was sort of practical. They were busy gossiping. God immediately spoke and he said, you be quiet, all three of you, follow me. Do you remember when your dad said to you, come with me to the room? What was going to happen? Well, it generally ended in tears and it wasn't your father crying. There was going to be consequences. There was going to be consequences. God said, we will set this thing straight right here, right now. In verse 8, God speaks and he says, why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? I want to turn that around and I want to say to you, the next time you are in the presence of gossip, be afraid. Be very, very afraid. Because the consequences are not going to be good. They are going to be destructive. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? In other words, why were you not afraid to gossip? Why were you not afraid to speak badly about my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord burnt against them, and he left them. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous as snow. Did Miriam learn a lesson? I wish I could have been there. I want to tell you something. Miriam repented of stuff she never even did before because she realized how much she had angered God. Is Miriam the only one that angers God this way? People anger God the same way every single day when we do what Miriam did. When we wait for the person to leave the room and then we start picking them apart. We start talking about their children. We start talking about their husband. We start talking about their family. Listen to me very carefully. You got nothing to say about somebody else's life. 3 weeks ago, I preached a sermon, mind your own business. We like to put ourselves in another person's business. God is the only one that has business there. You don't. If you got nothing good to say, rather say, nothing. It's the best. Now, there's something that touched me when I read this. The anger of the Lord burnt against them and he left them. Gossips do not have God in their life. I don't care what you tell me. When gossip comes, the anger of God burns and God leaves. Why are there so many churches with no anointing? There's too many gossips sitting in that church. There's too many people that like to judge others and talk badly about others. The presence of God is not there where the gossip reigns. Why is it important for us to deal with these things? Because you need God in your life, my friend, whether you like it or not. And God and gossip, they don't mix. And when God leaves, the problems will follow. Every one of us has things, situations, circumstances, whatever you want to call it, in our lives that we cannot deal with on our own. We need help. Well, pushing God out of your life by the things you speak is not the right way to go about having a blessed life. It's not a recipe for you being prosperous and going forward. In fact, it is a recipe for disaster. I want to show you a scripture that actually shocked me when I read it. Now, I must be honest with you, I've read through the Bible numerous times. And it's amazing how you can still find things that it's like, I'm seeing this for the first time. It comes from the book of Psalm 101 verse 5. Psalm 101 verse 5. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Listen to that. If that doesn't put the fear of God in you today, I do not know what will. This is exactly what Aaron and Miriam was doing. And God says in the book of Psalm 101 verse 5, whoever slanders, now slander is speaking bad about your neighbor. It's picking them apart. It's finding all of their faults and discussing it because you feel good when you do it. So when you slander your neighbor in secret, God says, I will destroy you. Generally speaking, how many people today, including people maybe sitting here, are experiencing a spirit of destruction in their own life? Not because of what somebody did to them, but because of what they're busy doing to somebody else. You see, here's the thing. God's word is God's word. It is true. It is accurate. It is living. God doesn't have to police his word. When we are in line with the word, the blessing is there. It's automatic. When we are out of line with the word, the curse comes. It's automatic. How many times do we ask a pastor all over this world to pray for us because nothing in our life wants to come right? Everything is always wrong. We feel like we are living Murphy's Law. Anything that can go wrong does go wrong. But it's a spirit of destruction. We rebuke the devil. We rebuke the devil. We curse. We damn Satan to eternal now damnation. But the problem is, it's not coming from the devil. It's coming from God. Listen to what I'm saying. It's coming from God. And until you do not change, until you do not repent, until you do not start doing things differently, it's going nowhere. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy, says the Lord. God is the one that sends that spirit of destruction. Is it a demon? Oh, yes, it is. But God says to him, I feel very sorry for my child, but they have to learn their lesson. And they go. And somewhere we begin to pick up pieces and we cannot understand why. Why is there so many problems in my life? A spirit of destruction can cause you to go into poverty. Well, if he destroys your finances, what's left? Nothing but poverty. A spirit of destruction can destroy your marriage. If your marriage is not, if your marriage is destroyed, what have you got? You've got broken children. You've got broken trust. You've got feelings of hatred, feelings of despair, feelings of depression, all these things. A broken marriage can destroy relationships. Imagine you trying very hard to have a good relationship with your girlfriend, your wife, your mother, your brother. Yet because of what you're doing, a spirit of destruction is following you all the time. It doesn't matter how hard you are going to work on that relationship, destruction will keep touching. There's always going to be problems. There will be friction all the time. A spirit of destruction brings sickness. When destruction touches the human body, we become sick. We have weird sicknesses, weird infirmities, and they just never seem to go away. We're always battling with something new. It's good to ask for prayer, but sometimes we got to find out what the open door is, and we better close that door quickly, or else it's going to be really tough and difficult for us to go forward. Now, who would ever guess when you listen to all of this, that all of this can come about because of what you spoke in secret behind another person's back? Human nature is like this. We all like to hear the gossip. Why do people buy magazines like, what's that stuff? Okay, the You magazine has become like that, yeah. The People magazine and all of that. We can't wait to hear the gossip about somebody else's life. We should be less focused on somebody else's life and more focused on our own. We should be more worried about our relationship with our immediate friends and family, especially our relationship with God, than what we interested in what's happening in somebody else's life. Well, he just mentioned something, social media. You know, I want to tell you something. Social media can be used for good. I acknowledge that. Unfortunately, right now, probably 90% of it is used for evil. It is used to disgrace people, to break people down, to expose people. Go and type in. I want to make a challenge to you. Go and type in Reinhard Bonnker and see what are the first things that come up on the internet. Why he's from the devil, why he preaches rubbish. You don't find good things, you find 1,000 bad things. Go and type in Billy Graham. Reasons why he's been exposed as working through the spirit of the Antichrist and this and that. The world is full of people out there that can't wait to gossip, to propagate their evil. And unfortunately, none of this would be possible if other people didn't eat it up. Jy weet, in Afrikaans sê ons, en jy eet het op soos soetkoek. The problem with this is, it might taste sweet when it goes in. But once it fills your belly, it's poison. It is bitter as gall, and it will poison your life. When we look at news, we all know good news does not sell. If Facebook was really just about connecting with people and having good memories, it would go nowhere. That's not what it's about, is it? It's about all the horrible rubbish and filth that's out there. Now, the thing is, you have to decide what you're going to fill yourself with. But let me warn you today that there are a couple of gates through which rubbish comes into a person's life. The eye gate is one. What you see, what you allow to come in, has an effect on you whether you like it or not. What you hear, what you allow to come in through your ear gate, has an effect on you, and it will determine where your life is going to go, whether you like it or not. God expects us to put filters there. We should know what is right, and we should know what is wrong. We should know what we must allow ourselves to see and what we should allow ourselves to listen. Because tomorrow, the things that you allow to come into you, if they are perpetrating evil, will cause that evil to rise up inside of you. And if you're not careful, it will begin to control your life. If you keep sitting under a gossip, you will become a gossip. It's not about, I just wanted to hear. Once you know it, you're going to want to tell somebody else. Because you also want them to be like, oh, I can't believe it. Unfortunately, what we allow to come in will change us. Now, Proverbs 20 verse 19 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. That's God shooting straight from the hip. What type of people should we avoid? The ones that have way too much to say. If you know somebody is a gossip, if you know somebody likes to talk too much about other people's lives, God's word warns you, you should stay away from them. You see, the thing is with a gossip, today you're sitting and listening to them talk about somebody else. Today, tomorrow that somebody else sits and listens to them talk about you. And probably what they have to say about you is 10 times worse than what they said about the other person. Proverbs 17 verse 19 says, he who covers an offense promotes love. But whoever promotes the matter will separate close friends. Okay, in other words, something happened. If I keep quiet about it, God says, I am operating in love. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you keep quiet about it, you operate in love. But the moment you speak about it, you destroy relationships. If you are motivated by love, you stop the story right there. You know, I shared with you, when somebody comes to you and they want to talk to you about Pete or Jan or Klaasie or whatever, listen, yeah, they're not here. I don't want to discuss nothing while they are not here. Let's just leave it. We stop it right there. Because if you allow it to continue, it's become gossip. And what happens when you discuss somebody's life in secret? God says destruction will follow your life. So if you are motivated by love, you stop it right there. You see, not everything somebody does has to be repeated or spread. The scripture says, he who covers over an offense promotes love. In other words, God sometimes expects us, even though somebody did something wrong, it's between me and that person. Why must the whole south of Joburg hear what he did? Because that's exactly how some people are. They cannot wait to tell the whole world what you did. What are we gaining by that? We are breaking down relationships. We are destroying the kingdom of God. God says, cover over an offense. Life can actually continue without you having told the whole world what somebody did or what happened. And that way, you will have more peace in your life. They will have more peace in their life. And guess what? If that's how you begin to look at life, maybe a lot of other people are going to cover over the things you did wrong. Have you ever thought about it? There are three questions that you should ask yourself when you are tempted to talk to somebody else about somebody else. The first thing you must ask yourself is it true? Did I see it happen with my own two eyes, or did Vera tell me about it? Sorry, Vera. Your name was the thing. Or did Tony tell me about it? In other words, what I'm trying to say is, did I see it? Or have I got second-hand information that I cannot prove or disprove? Is it true? Number two, if I repeat this, will it be kind? There most of us must be quiet. Because a lot of what we say, we know we're not going to be kind when we say what we say. Number one question, is it true? Number two question, will it be kind of me to share this about that individual? Or am I now going to cause you to look at that individual in a very harsh and critical way? Because if that's what I'm going to do, I have just destroyed your relationship with you. Which is exactly what the devil wanted from the beginning. And the last thing that we have to ask ourselves, is it really necessary? Is it actually necessary for me to be telling people what so-and-so did or what so-and-so said or whatever? Because if it's not necessary, why bother? Just keep quiet. Leave it. If we begin to look at life this way, I want to tell you something. Nobody here is going to gossip. Because we will all follow these rules and say, let's drop it. It's not necessary. Proverbs 18 verse 6 says, a fool's lips will bring him strife, and his mouth will invite a beating. What did I say just now? What starts a lot of fights? What people say. How many times I think back to when we used to be at school? I don't know how it is these days, but in our days, you would be sitting around the next moment, everybody just starts running. Then you're like, what's happening? Oh, there's a fight, there's a fight. Everybody runs. And 9 times out of 10, this one heard that one said this and that about that one, and now they all want to beat each other up. Words. Words. A fool's lips will bring him strife, and his mouth will invite a beating. So what is on your lips and what comes out of your mouth can very possibly put you in very hot water. Proverbs 29 verse 11 says, a fool will give vent to his anger, but a wise man will keep himself under control. I need to talk about this because a lot of us need to hear this. A fool will give vent to his anger, but a wise man will keep himself under control. One of the greatest lessons we can all learn is how to control our temper. Listen to me. I know you have a temper. So do I. It's not wrong. There is a time for getting angry. Even God gets angry. God has what is called righteous anger. There are a number of places in the Old Testament where the Spirit of God came upon an individual and immediately they burned with anger and they went to war. Sometimes you gotta fight. Sometimes right is right and wrong is wrong and you gotta put your foot down. But you see, God has to help you to make the decisions when is the right time for you to fight. You see, some people see every opportunity for a fight as a good time to fight. You will never have peace in your life and you will always suffer turmoil. How many people today, and I'm sure there's some of you sitting here, can say that you deeply regret the things you said in a fit of rage to another person? And that's true. You see, when we are angry, we do not measure our words. We say whatever. The thing is, your temper will come down, but your words will not disappear. And then tomorrow, when you want to rekindle a relationship, sometimes it is too late because the damage was too severe. How many people today as adults are seriously wounded in themselves because of what parents in a moment of anger spoke over their children? It happens. You come home from a tough day at the office. Somebody probably picked on you. Now, you know how it goes. There's like a pecking order. Have you ever seen that little thing with the birds? There's the bird sitting at the top, and he drops on the two sitting below him, and they drop on the four sitting there. And in the end, you got these ones down at the bottom. You can't even see them anymore because it's just rubbish. Now, sometimes we have a day like that. We have to be very careful and we have to guard against then letting us retaliate on people we love because our anger was kindled by somebody else. I want to speak about something that is also a very big problem. Maybe sometimes we do not notice it or we do not see it as a problem, but it is a huge problem. And I'm going to speak to you now about flattery. Job 32 verse 21 to 22 says, I will show partiality to no one, nor will I flatter any man. For if I were skilled in flattery, my maker would soon take me away. Those are harsh words. Job was a wise man. Job was an honest man. Job had integrity. And he says, me, I will show partiality to no one. In other words, if there's 10 people in a room, there's 10 people. There's not the Pope and the President and this one and that one. There's 10 people. I am not partial to anyone. I do not show favoritism. Nor will I flatter any man. Who can help me out? What is flattery? Give me an idea of what is flattery. Say again. Well, I agree with you 100%. Flattery is being really over the top nice with somebody that most of the times you can't stand in the first place because you think that it'll get you somewhere with them. There's a lot of men in bars that have very flattery tongues towards women. Is it right? Is it wrong? The Bible says it's wrong. There's a lot of people who can be very nice to the boss because there's a promotion just around the corner. Is it right? Is it wrong? The Bible says It is wrong. Because you see, that same person who now wants to carry everything for the boss and will service his car and will change his wheel for him, that same person is the one that sits in the canteen telling everybody how much he dislikes and cannot stand the boss. God has no time for flattery. You see, some people like to butter up others to get what they want. God hates such a practice. And Job says that if that was how he lived his life, God would have taken his life. In other words, what he's saying is it'll invite problems into his life and his life would probably go nowhere. With flattery, you use your words to manipulate people to get what you want. If you've never heard me speak about this, let's speak about it now. Manipulation is witchcraft. Because the purpose of witchcraft is to manipulate the natural using the supernatural realm. Manipulation is never acceptable in the life of any child of God. Now, when you flatter people, you are simply manipulating them to get something that you think otherwise you couldn't get, or to make yourself look better than another individual. Here's the thing. There's a lot of bosses that like it when they get flattered. They're not wise bosses. I'll tell you why. Because if the guy has to stoop to flattery to get what he wants, tomorrow he will walk over you to get what he wants. You can't trust people that flatter. Finished law. They have no honesty. They've got no integrity whatsoever. Proverbs 26 verse 28 says, a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Very important words. Proverbs 26 verse 28. A lying tongue hates those that it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. What does the word ruin mean? Ruin is if we take this building and we stop giving it maintenance, we stop giving it love, we stop giving it care, we just abuse it, and in about a year's time, there's no windows left, there's no carpets left, in fact, there's hardly a floor left, and nobody can live here because it is destroyed. Now, the Bible says a flattering tongue will do that to your life. The more you allow people to flatter you, the more destruction you invite into your own life, because flattery is a spirit. It's a demon. It wants you in its power. When it sees that you like it, it'll attach itself to your life. Every demon came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If you like to flatter others, you've given that demon place in your mouth and in your heart. Guess what? It'll do the same to you. It'll leave your life in ruins. Words from a flatterer are not true. Remember, the person wants something from you. When flattery is in their hearts and on their lips, they're going to love your hairstyle, they're going to love your shoes. Or you got the most beautiful outfit on today. But they're also lying. Because they have to say these things to get what they want. They're not telling you what they feel in their hearts. They're telling you what they think you want to hear. Can you live your life based on what other people are lying to you about? No. Did you ever see the cartoon? I forget what it's about now, the name. It was on Mnet for a while. It's about this guy who's so vain and he thinks so much of himself that he keeps having these coats made. And then every time the coat's not good enough, and then he actually destroys the guy who makes the coat, and then there's this one coat maker, he thinks to himself, man, I'm going to have to just be very clever here. And then he gives him this coat that he convinces him, only if you're very clever and you're very special can you see it. Cusco. Do you remember Cusco? Okay, if you have young children, you'll know what I'm talking about. But it's like, so now the king, he doesn't want to look stupid in front of everybody, so he's like, oh, wow. Of course I'm clever. I'm the cleverest oak in the kingdom. It's a beautiful coat. Meanwhile, there's nothing. Then he parades naked down the street. And everybody tells him how beautiful he looks. Because everybody's too scared to tell him the truth. You see, it's better for people to tell you the truth. Because then you can deal with life. Than for people to come and butter you up and lie to you. Because it gives you a false sense of security. Sometimes things are not just good. That's just the way it is. Words from a flatterer are not true. They come with a hidden agenda. And therefore, you should always be very careful. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. The reason I quote the scripture is because there is a lot of flattery going on in the church today as well. And I want to talk about that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 says, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say exactly what their itchy ears want to hear." What is it called when you say to somebody what they want to hear? It's called flattery. The Bible says there's a time coming, and the time is the time that we're living in now, where people are no longer going to attend the kind of churches where they hear the truth. They will attend the churches where people tell them what they want to hear. You see, people today in the church want pastors that flatter them, that tell them that their life is not that bad, that the grace of God is sufficient for them, that no matter what they do wrong, they're still going to find their way into heaven, and that they mustn't be concerned with dealing with their hearts because God understands that the flesh is weak, etc., etc., etc. My friend, that kind of flattery will lead to the ruin of your life quicker than any other kind of flattery. You need to hear the way it is. God expects those that preach the gospel of the kingdom to call a spade, to say it the way it is. Listen to what even the Word of God says. It says, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine." In other words, when you tell them what they have to hear, they get offended and upset and they leave. And what are they going to do instead? They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itchy ears want to hear. I want to say something to you. If you want flattery, you're not going to get it from me because I can't give it to you. God expects me to tell you the truth. God wants me to call a spade a spade. How can I help you if I tell you what you want to hear? There's a lot of flattery in the church when it comes to taking up the offering. Oh, God has put upon my heart that anybody that gives 1,000 rand now, you are going to have 100,000 by this time next year. I'm telling you what you want to hear because I want something from you. Do you need that kind of flattery in your life? The Bible already warned you that a flattering tongue will bring things to ruin. Do you know how many people go to church services when this form of manipulation suddenly rears its head? And then there's 100 reasons why people should give so much, and they should, for the next so many minutes, they must give so much. And then somebody sits there, and because their constitution is a little bit on the weak side, they're like, oh, if I don't do this, I'm in trouble. Then they go and they mortgage their house to give the amount asked for. Everything falls apart because their wife can't see the reason why they just spent 10 grand giving to so-and-so ministries. But it was flattery. I want to tell you something. If God tells us that the spirit of flattery will bring you to ruin, then God doesn't want us to flatter people from the pulpit. What you give, you give. You decide in your heart. When God speaks to you, yes, be obedient. When somebody tries to flatter you and makes, I want to call it, empty promises to you, be quiet, zip it, go sit on your hands. You don't give nothing there. Because whether you like it or not, it's witchcraft. And the church is full of witchcraft today. Romans 16 verse 17 says, "I urge you, my brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching that you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they are deceiving the minds of naive people." He's talking about what's happening in the church. He says, be careful because there's going to be a lot of smooth talk and a lot of flattery in the church. But then he says, these people are not serving our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not yet to smooth talk you. I'm not yet to flatter you. I want to help you. I have a sincere desire to see your life amount to something, to see you better yourself, to get rid of the spot and the wrinkle, because God is coming for a bride without spot, without wrinkle. And that means we got to deal with what's right and deal with what's wrong and get rid of the things that don't honor God. But I can't butter you We need to call a spade a spade. Right is right, wrong is wrong. Yes, God loves the sinner, but God still hates sin. I can't tell you different. Should we look at it? Yes, we should. Should we deal with it? Yes, we should. And if we realize we're doing something wrong, we need to get to a place where the Bible calls it repentance. You know, the church today is full of people that feel they don't need to repent because everybody tells them, you're okay, you're okay. God loves you, God loves you. You're a child of God, don't worry. That's a problem. The church today, unfortunately, has a lot of people who will listen to only what they want to hear. And people who are quick to tell them what they want to hear. You know, I saw a thing the other day. It was like a little picture. It showed a church somewhere in a school hall with 10 people sitting there. It said at the bottom, when you preach what people have to hear. And then they showed another picture of a church overflowing. There was like 100,000 people there. And then it said, when you preach what people want to hear. Sometimes I can't help but feel that that's true because it says so in the Bible. It says in the Bible that there's going to come a time where people will no longer attend services where they are told the truth. They will attend services where people pacify them, flatter them, butter them up, make them feel good about themselves. You know, the purpose of the Word of God is not to make you feel good about yourselves. It's to cut to your heart and to bring about godly change. And sometimes it's a difficult process. Because I understand that we don't like to hear that we're wrong. When you have a child, you got to teach them. Let's make this practical. How many of you have had 3- and 4-year-olds? Okay. When they start running around with knives, should you do something to get them to stop? Yeah. Even if it means standing there behind, you have to do something to get them to learn. If you leave them and you're like, oh, look how cute he is. Oh, look how sexy that knife looks in his hand. You're not helping him. You are going to cause the destruction of that child. And you know, when they get to about 9 or 10 years old and they've developed their own will and they want to do everything their way and stuff you, mom, I know better. What must you do? You got to put your foot down. Why? Because if you don't get that attitude out of them, one day their boss is not going to care for that attitude. They're going to go from job to job to job, getting fired left, right, and center. And the big reality is one day God will say to you, why did you train your child, or did you not train your child for godly living? Do you understand what I'm saying? In the same way that we have a responsibility towards our children to teach them right from wrong for very practical reasons, God has the same purpose through His Word to teach us right from wrong. To get us to understand that if we do not apply these things, we will have no peace in our life. We will not prosper. We will not go forward and we will not be blessed. Amen. Psalm 28 verse 23. He who rebukes a man will in the end gain more favor than he who has a flattering tongue. You see, when you flatter somebody, they can feel happy with you for a little while. But when you tell them the truth, eventually they will realize that's actually called caring. Do you hear what I'm saying? Telling people what they want to hear doesn't mean you care about them. You probably care more about yourself. But telling people what they have to hear means you care about them because you don't want them to go down the wrong road. Genuine friends, even though perhaps initially upset by an honest rebuke, will in the end see the value thereof. The kind of friends that expect flattery are the kind of friends who weren't sincere in the first place anyway. If somebody will only be friends with you because you're always kind and nice and flattering them, they're not the kind of friends that you want because they're not real. Hello? It's not real. By now, I hope you get to see the bigger picture. Words are very, very dangerous things if we use them wrongly. How many of you know that if you keep playing with a snake, eventually you are going to get bitten? Now, Similarly, too many words are also a recipe for disaster. Proverbs 10 verse 19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. It's not like I'm trying to tell you must be quiet for the rest of your life. But I'm trying to tell you there's times when it's actually the right thing for you to be quiet. You shouldn't be saying nothing. Because what you say there is probably going to come against you. If you say very little, you're going to be in trouble for very little. If you say very much, you can definitely be in trouble for very much. Proverbs 17:27 says, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint. Or some translation says, a wise man uses few words. You're not in the business of impressing people with how many words you can speak. You impress God when you say it with few words. Have I only got 5 minutes? Okay. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint. I know it's nice to talk. I know it's nice when we sit there and everybody's listening to us and hanging on every word we say. But we must be very careful. Because when we get addicted to that kind of talking, very soon the enemy's going to start putting other things through our mouth. It's sometimes best to say few words and know that you're fine with God than say many words to impress men and you've just upset God. It's not a good place for you to be. Okay, verse 28 says, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent. You can have the world's most stupid man in your midst, and if he doesn't say nothing, you wouldn't know who he is. But unfortunately, when they open their mouth, they prove different. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and the discerning if he holds his tongue. So if your mouth can get you into a lot of trouble, and maybe in the last 2 weeks when I've been speaking about these things, you realize, wow, you know what? I have a problem. Listen to this. When we speak about these kind of things, this is what I want you to be careful of, because immediately your mind will go to, oh, I hope Fatima is listening. Come, that's human nature. It's like, you're immediately checking. Oh, Fatima's here. I hope she's listening. I am preaching to her, but I'm preaching to you too. And to you, and to you, and to you. And this is where we make the mistake. We immediately assign, oh, it's that one's problem and that one's problem. No, it's all of our problem. Stop thinking about the other person. God today wants you to think about your life and what comes out of your mouth. Forget about what somebody else said to you. Think what you said to others. That must be your mindset. Otherwise, you will miss what God is saying to you today. Don't focus on other people. God's talking to every people, including yourself. So the first thing that we have to do, if we realize that we have a problem, if the way I say things and how I say things and what I say is a problem, and I've heard today that there can actually be a lot of destruction and I want it to stop, then I have to do something from my side. The first thing is you got to admit that you have a problem. You got to admit that you have a problem. We're so quick to pass the buck. Repentance can only take place when we realize we're wrong and we confess, I am wrong. God can only save a sinner that recognizes the sin in their life. People that, according to them, they find can never get saved by God. We must understand that we're wrong, and what we've allowed in our life pushes us away from God. Remember when Aaron and Miriam were gossiping about Moses, when God appeared and he pointed his finger and he gave them a hiding, God removed himself. You want God to come back? Confess that you are wrong. Do not point fingers at all the other people and sit here thinking, oh, that one and that one and that one better listen to what God is saying today. No, you better listen to what God is saying today. And if you're wrong, call a spade a spade. They say call a spade and not an agricultural instrument. Because that's what we sometimes do. I have a problem, but it's not that bad. We have ways of making it sound not that bad. When God looks at it, he sees a spade. Call it a spade. Number one, admit that you have a problem. And number two, we need to learn from a very, very powerful scripture. James chapter 1, verse 19. Listen to this. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick. Quick to talk? Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I want to tell you something. Your life will go much further when you listen more and say less. If you forget everything else that I taught you today, remember that. Listen more, speak less. You know, now and then in counseling, I encounter people who will never let me say two words because they're always busy talking. Eventually, I become quiet. I sit there and I listen. And when they finished, I will say to them, listen, I don't think I can help you. Because according to you, you got no problems. You will not listen. You're coming here because your life is falling apart and you got all these problems. But every time I try and show you where the problem is, you speak over me. I can't help you. We should be slow to speak and quick to listen. And slow to become angry. If you memorize this verse, and if you daily strive to live your life according to this verse, I have a very strong feeling you're going to be very blessed. Well, you will definitely not be in a place where God removes himself from you. I can promise you that. And with God by your side, David says, with God by my side, I will jump a wall. With God by my side, I will fight off a thousand. The next thing that is very important is you need to be accountable. You see, we all have friends and maybe a family member that we can say to them, listen, you know what? God today spoke to me about my tongue. My tongue is sometimes wrong. I want to be accountable. The next time you hear me say things I shouldn't say, please point it out. Now, I need to say this. If they then take you up on your offer and they point it out, don't get angry. Because that's what tends to happen. Sometimes we don't realize when we are overstepping, but other people can see it clearly. It would be very helpful if somebody points out to you and says to you, listen, yeah, what you're saying now is wrong. You shouldn't say that. Oh, why? Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, all right. The problem is now when they point it out, you get angry and it ruins the friendship. No, this is to help the friendship, not ruin the friendship. The next thing that is important for all of us to do is we need to yield our mouth and our tongue to God. It doesn't help you gave your heart to Jesus, but your mouth belongs to the devil. You got to give your mouth to God as well. You need to come to a place where you say to the Lord, Lord, I realize I've been using my tongue for my own gain in the past, but from now on, I want my tongue to work for you. Can I tell you why a lot of people won't listen when some Christians try and evangelize them? Because they've heard too many other things come from your mouth already. If you gossip all the time, slander all the time, speak foul language all the time, and then one day you feel inspired and you want to lead somebody at work to God, and they say no, don't wonder why, that's why. Because according to that person, you're speaking with a forked tongue. One minute you glorify the devil, the next minute you want to speak about God. They're not going to listen. The easiest way to lead people to God is for them to hear God speak through your mouth. Then they will listen to anything you want to say. So what must you do? Yield your tongue to God. If you've never done it, we're going to end off in a prayer. We're going to do it. We need to ask God to help us that our tongues will speak words that uplift people, that encourage people, that bless people, that teach people and instruct people in godliness. Not to speak the kind of words that belittle, that break down, that crush, that hurt, and that destroy. There is a place for rebuke in the kingdom of God, but it must still be a godly rebuke. Do you understand? You don't have to climb into people's character. There's a right and a wrong way to do things. So here's my question. How many of you feel that God in the last 2 weeks has actually been speaking to you about your life and the way you use your tongue? Then it's important that we do something about it. If you believe God has been speaking to you, and if you listen to the steps that I gave you, that it's just a suggestion for you to apply the right changes so that your life can actually start going forward, I want to ask you to stand for me, please. I want you to pray this with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you are the Son of God, and you are the only way to God. I believe that you died on the cross for all of my sins, and that you rose again from the dead. I believe you sacrificed your life for mine. Today you spoke to me about my life, especially about my tongue. And Lord, I'm sorry. I have to confess. Sometimes I am my own worst enemy. Please forgive me. Let the word spoken today come and soak into my heart. I choose to repent. And I will change. Today I yield my tongue to you, my Father. Let my tongue be an instrument of righteousness. Use me to encourage, to support, to uplift, to bless, to help, to teach, and to instruct in all godliness. And keep my tongue from gossip, from slander, from backstabbing, from lies, and from breaking people down. Touch my tongue with your holy fire and purify me, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please sit.